All right, everyone. We are now joined by the winning driver, Kevin Harvick, and crew chief, Rodney Childers, of today's Firekeepers Casino 400 at Michigan. Guys, first win of the season, kept the Heritage Trophy here, got that in Ford's backyard. Just talk about what today means for you.
Yeah, well, it means a lot. You know, I think, as we went through the first part of the season and you know, really not having everything where we want it to be, and we just really just kept our heads down, and just kept communicating and working through what we thought our weak points were. And, you know, really over the last 5 or 6 weeks, the cars have run a lot better. And, you know, a lot of that goes to just, you know, Rodney and Steve and Dax and everybody just, kind of just thinking about what we need to do different and trying things. And really it's gone smoothly over the last several weeks, in the simulator, at the racetrack, and the way that things have raced. And so today we didn't have anything work against us. You know, that's the biggest thing that happened today. Pocono and Loudon kind of in the same position and just didn't have the end of it go right. And today it went our way, and we were in position to capitalize on it.
Awesome. If you guys have a question for Kevin or Rodney, just raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. We'll start right there with Taylor.
Taylor DeSormo with MLive.com. I was wondering if you got to give Piper a ride in the car, and what was that like for you, and what did she think of it?
Well, she did go for a ride. We had to talk her into it. So, she had mentioned that she wanted to go for a ride if we won today. So, you know, just a really, really cool moment to be able to let her experience a lot of these things that Keelan's got to experience so many times. And yeah, I think hopefully she's old enough to where she might remember some of it and at least, have some great video and footage of everything that's happening. So great day from a lot of different perspectives, whether it's family or team or just, a lot of things that feel good.
How old was she last time that you won?
She was probably, it was Indy, so was that two? I hear mom. Two. Yeah. I don't remember anything. I did when I was two.
We'll go to Steve and work our way around.
Kevin, Steve Schweitzer, the Lasco Press. Kevin, when you handed Piper the flag, she waved it like she knew what she was doing. Has she been practicing?
A lot of driveway races. Yeah. We our life pretty much revolves around racing, and even in the driveway, it's fine. You can tear anything up in here you want. It's not mine. So, our life revolves around racing. So whether it's scooters or go-karts or whatever it is, they're well aware of how to start and how a race starts and how a race ends. So we might even know what the black flag means. Do you know what the black flag means? Yeah. Are you in trouble? Yeah.
Go to Jordan in the back.
Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic. A couple questions for each of you. This is for both of you. What have the last 2 years been like for you guys during this winless drought?
For me, it's obviously you'd much rather win. But, you know, the end of last year, you know, it's kind of like this year. We weren't where we wanted to be. They kind of took control and did the things that they wanted to do with the cars. And by the end of the year, we were in contention to win races, and it didn't work out. But, you know, to get to victory lane, and this year started the same way, and they keep their head down and grind away and just start dotting I's and crossing T's, and next thing you know, it comes together. So I've been through longer winless streaks, and, you know, it's fun to go through it with the same group of guys when you finally pop out of it and you're like, man, all that work feels pretty good now.
Rodney?
Yeah, same thing. When you go from winning 10 or 11 races a year to doing that, it's definitely a mental struggle. And like he said, it just comes down to the people that are around you and what certain people, you know, say every day and the way our team meetings go in the mornings and just that dedication and everybody. Nobody really ever changed a lick. Every single morning we act the same. We talk about the same things and what we need to do better and when we need to do it. And You know, through all that, like when Claire told me it had been 60-something races, I was like, I had no idea it had been that long. But and it's really because it's the same every week, and everybody works on the same things and tries to – yeah, we try to be perfect and we try to win, but when we don't win, we don't, you know, have flames coming out of offices and people going crazy. It's really about trying to figure it out as a team and move forward from it. And you know, I think you've seen that the last couple of months. We've just kind of gradually got better. And honestly, that's been fun, you know, just learning this car. And I'll admit, I was probably the hard-headed one all year. Just, you know, every week you talk about, well, this is what we did with the old car. This is what we won with the old car. Well, none of that matters anymore. So when you've done this for 20 years, it's hard to get over that. So I've finally started to get over it, and hopefully that's a good thing, and we just keep moving forward.
And the second question is for Kevin. Kevin, a lot of veteran drivers, they get towards the latter part of their career, say that when they win, they start to appreciate the wins a lot more because they don't know when that next one is going to be. I'm wondering if that was the case for you today.
I expect to win, so maybe I'm overconfident. I don't know. So it's, you know, I expect to win until the door closes. And that's just the expectation that I have. It's, you know, it's been the way that I've gone on the racetrack. And, you know, I don't know that I'll ever be able to turn that off until the door is closed and you just don't open it back up. I'm just not wired that way.
We'll go to Dustin and then Larry.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Kevin, you've been through a lot in your career, so you're steady in how you do things. I'm curious about the mental toughness. I'm sure at times the winless streak aspects of it bothered you, but it doesn't destroy you. You know, the pressure building, you know, making the playoffs, you don't wilt. How have you kind of been able to refine that, and how's that developed throughout your career, and how much, you know, experience helps you in situations like this?
Yeah, I think I've said this in here before, but this is all easy, you know, to deal with. It's really not that hard. You know, you just compartmentalize it and you know, you set it aside and you know, we try to act like grown-ups and show up to work every morning and, you know, be productive about the conversations that Rodney was talking about and just, you know, you got to believe in the things that are around you. You got to believe in yourself. And, you know, there's really no match for jumping in a race car and taking over for Dale Earnhardt. So, you know, there's nothing like that was for, you know, the first 6 or 8 weeks. You just can't match it. Never will. Never come close. There's nothing even close. I mean, there's never going to be a media session that big again. There's never going to be conversation that big again. There's never going to be a bigger moment in my career. I've had all those. And, you know, it's just the rest of this stuff is pretty easy to deal with compared to those moments. So, and as you get older too, but, you know, I think, you know, that part comes with just life in general. But, you know, thinking back to, you know, looking at that Rockingham press conference, you know, there's probably only a few of you that were there or remember it, but if you want to pull up some video and go find out what that looked like, it was, you know, it was a big enough moment to where Richard stopped practice and, you know, there were extra tents and it looked like Trump was there. So, you know, there's those moments you can't match. And, you know, I think that everything after that is, you know, that was the training ground. That was the start of the process.
Go to Larry right there.
You said anyone that doubted you didn't know you, basically. Say more about that, how you didn't have doubts going almost 2 years without a win, and what your win does to this playoff chase and the bubble it creates, you know, and the excitement over the last few weeks. For
it creates a big bubble because, you know, I think we were 8th, 9th, 10th in the points. So, you know, I think, you know, the some of those guys that have won races that, you know, hadn't been doing very good, you know, it creates a real scenario to where, you know, there could be at least 16 winners. I mean, you've still got Daytona, you've got another road course. There's a lot of things that can still happen here. So, but yeah, I mean, it's like Rodney said, it's been 65 races because honestly, you know, there's been moments to where you go in and you're like, oh man, you know, if you think back, you're like, well, we probably won a race sometime in between there, but we haven't. And that's just the way this goes, and you just keep grinding away and start over again next week, and tomorrow will be just a start over process for Richmond. And I know it's boring, but I mean that's just that's the way that you approach it. And that approach really started several years ago when, you know, we sat down and talked and said, okay, how do we race like the 48 every week? And really from that point on, it's been on. And you prep the same way. And it doesn't matter if it's a playoff race, last race, first race, you know, how do you maintain that preparation level? And that's just how you plan.
Before we continue, all the questions for Kevin, does anybody have a question for Rodney? We can get Rodney back to the car. Okay, we'll go to Daniel first.
Daniel McFadden, FrenchStretch.com. This is for both of you. For a while today, it didn't seem like Ford was going to have much of a say in whether it extended its winning streak at Michigan. So for you guys to swoop in at the last minute sort of and both end your winless streak and extend theirs here, what does that mean for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we had really good speed all weekend. And you know, as we were watching during the race and watching SMT and watching our lap times and stuff, every time we would kind of get a clear lap, we were just as fast as the leader, and we knew that maybe if we could ever get there, we would be okay. One strong suit we had was on four tires on long runs. We could pass cars, and a lot of people couldn't. And, you know, you would look there before we got the lead because of the caution, and we weren't the best because we had put two tires on and got too tight. But I knew that if we could ever get there, we could at least give them a run for their money. And, you know, maybe we weren't the best. But, you know, if you can run top three, top four every single week, you have opportunities to take advantage of other people's mistakes or fortunate cautions or different things. And, you know, like he was saying earlier, it's really more about what went right today. You know, we've had a lot of races that maybe things didn't go our way, but today was everything went right. Every pit stop was right. Every execution was right, and we just ended up in the right spot at the right time.
Okay, we'll go to Chris.
Yeah, Rodney. Now that you guys have a win, what are you guys capable of in the playoffs?
I don't know if you can really answer that. You know, going next week to Richmond has been a great place for us, and I think, you know, we kind of need to go through a few more races. Like I say it in these meetings every week, and everybody that knows me knows what I mean. You know, we are still learning so much every single week. It's you know, you don't have like this little folder after the race. You have this huge memory bank of stuff that you have gathered and things that you could have done different and things that you should have, you know, done to the car or setup wise. And it's really more about those deals. And, you know, what turned our corner, I felt like, was having 50 minutes of practice at Nashville. We unloaded. We were absolutely horrible. And we changed everything on the car to start the race. And we qualified up front and ran up front all night. And we've done that ever since. And so having 50 minutes of practice, being able to change stuff after, it has changed our season. So, you know, every week we learn, and hopefully we're getting that a little bit better, and I think that you guys have seen that, and we just got to keep pushing and try to you know, run with them guys, and we have. And if we can do that in the playoffs and be consistent and get through a round or two, we can make some noise.
We'll go to Jazz in the back right there.
Evening, gentlemen. Jazz Sharp with the podium finish. When the quote, patience never give up, do you both feel like that's something that you feel like really means a lot, considering all the trials and tribulations that both of y'all have gone through this year? And also for Kevin, when it comes to that, and I know that school's right around the corner and all that, how would you be able to apply that quote with both of your children and just kind of give them the learning grounds of what you go through each week and be able to apply it in real life?
Yeah, well, our school's at home, so when they get up in the morning, I say go brush your teeth and go to school. But, you know, I think that there's really, you know, I think everybody understands the expectations, so there's not a quote or a saying or anything that's going to motivate any of us, in my opinion. And, you know, I think it's the motivation comes from, I don't want to let that guy down. He doesn't want to let me down. I don't want to let him down. And everybody shows up knowing that when I show up, I'm going to give all I've got. And I know that when they show up, they're going to give all they've got. And it's just super easy. It really is easy. And I think, I always think actions speak louder than words. And, you know, I think for me, the way to show your kids how to do something is to do it and let them watch. And, you know, I think Keelan will understand, you know, more of what today means and how much work goes into it, because, you know, there are days that I'm up at 5:30 in the morning and he'll come down and say, "Where are you going today?" I said, "Well, I'm going to the simulator." "What are you going to do today?" He said, "Well, I guess I'll go back to bed." But he knows that it's not just show up on Sunday, win the race, lose the race, and come home. You know, it's Tuesday sitting on the calls and talking about it. It's Tuesdays writing the notes, and, you know, he'll come over during his break and during school, and you shut the iPad down for 15 minutes so you can go shoot baskets or whatever they're doing on their PE break. But, you know, those actions, they're noticed. It's kind of like they say, you know, you're teaching your kids how to drive when they're born, and you put them in the car seat, they see you from day one. All those habits that you have, they see. And it's not just driving, but actions speak way louder than words.
Any final questions for Rodney? No? Thank you, Rodney. Send you on to the next.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll continue with questions for Kevin. We'll go here and go around the right.
Eric Young with thesuperspeedway.com. I'm going to piggyback off of Chris's question a little bit. Kevin, you've got the win now. You're more than likely in the playoffs. How does that change your strategy going forward, or does it change your strategy going forward?
It really doesn't. You know, I think, you know, for us, it's just, you know, I'm going to debrief on Tuesday and write my notes down, and they're going to send me 27 emails of what the characteristics of the racetrack are and all the different setup things and everything that they send me every week, and it's going to be just the same routine. We're just going to grind through the same things again next week, and it'll be no different than the last 65 weeks that we've lost. So, you know, that's the great part about having an experienced team and being around people for a long time and being able to have that trust in people and you know, the expectation. Everybody knows this is the expectation, and nobody's working towards anything different.
Stay over here on the right.
Tom with SiriusFastMedia.com. So, obviously, scored the win, get you guys in the playoffs. Going into the playoffs with just a couple races left, do you guys concentrate? Obviously, winning is key, but do you guys concentrate on stage points or just ultimately going for that win?
Nothing. Same answer. We're going to do the exact same thing that we do on a week-to-week basis, just to, you know, try to do the exact – we're going to do the exact same thing that we've done, that we do every week.
Come up here to Bob and then Dustin.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. I had to look it up, but your last one was actually Bristol.
Bristol. Last win?
Yeah, not Indy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that was just the one that Piper was at.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm curious. That was your ninth win that year. Is the
at Bristol?
No.
Was it dirt?
No.
Asphalt?
Asphalt.
It's actually concrete, Bob.
Concrete. Yeah, that's right. It's been a long day, hasn't it? But my question is, like, is it strange at all to go 65 races without a win after you had a season where you won 9 races?
Not really. How many did I lose in the last losing streak? How many was it? It was like 100 and something. I think it was 100 and something, and we won at Talladega. So I don't know. It's just the way that it goes, right? I mean, you look back at anybody's career, and they go through losing streaks. We're just fortunate to end it. You know, I think that's the best part, right? You know, is ending the streak. So, you know, I think that you just, like, I have such a routine and such a, you know, such a busy schedule of everything that's going on, trying to keep up with my stuff and trying to keep up with the team stuff and trying to, you know, Keelan's racing in Europe and all over the country and all the things that he's got going on, and then trying to keep up with everything that you have at the house and all the projects that we have going on. Like, it's, I know it sounds just routine, but it really is a routine. Like, I live off my schedule. I live off the next phone call, you know, and plan the next thing. And just, I pick up my phone in the morning and I say, this is what I have to do. And I literally just
start doing that. Like, there's not, it's not like I'm going to plan today, all right, we need to figure out how to end this losing streak. You know what I mean? It's just, it, you can't force those things. And I tell that to a lot of the young kids, you know, as you, there's nothing in this sport that you can force. You know, it comes by doing the details right. It comes by having the right people. It comes by putting yourself in position, not making mistakes, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, not speeding on pit road. Your feedback is what leads to the next week. And, you know, your comments and the things that you say and the things that you do and the way that you go about it with the guys that you're around, whether it's your crew chief or your engineers, like, that stuff is easy, you know, because of the fact that we've worked together for so many years, and engineers as well. And like, it's just, it's so easy to say, hey, you know, this thing was garbage today, you know, and this is why. It's not, but it's never, hey, this was garbage, and that's the end of the conversation. There's always a thought, and they always process it, and then they'll come back with 27 questions. And they'll say, okay, was it here? And then you have to say, no, it's not there. It's here. And so being a part of those conversations and leading those directions is really what gets you back in the game. And, you know, I think there was never a moment where I couldn't have told you how many it was. I know that today is the 777th start. So, I mean, we rolled triple sevens today. So you knew it before I did, though. You wrote about it, what, 3 months ago? Yeah. See, it just goes away.
Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Kevin, can you take me through the final restart and the and coming up to the line and getting the advantage, and then I'm sure certainly getting help from those guys battling it out to kind of give you that run, but just take me through that restart too.
Yeah, so the last restart I had the 5 behind me, and I knew I didn't need to let the 23 up. So I knew I needed to drive it in the corner far enough, but the 5 had given me such a good push. You know, I had a car length, and I think Bubba got about, you know, up to my door, and I knew that if we could just get off of turn 2, we'd be in, you know, we'd have a chance. And then they were side by side, and then we drove down into turn 1 and 2 the next lap, and I watched them. I don't know what happened. They all wound up all goofed up down there and up the racetrack, and you know, I was hoping that the 23 didn't cycle out to be the second car, because then we were going to have a pretty constant race on our hands. But you know, the more they raced, the further we got away, and that's what you want, right? You know, to try to get away so they don't have a draft and you know, can make up that time quicker. But 5, you know, launched good. 5 gave us a good push, and the key was just clearing the 23 off of 2 and being able to go down the back straightaway by myself and not door to door and, you know, in a firestorm. So, you know, that all went smooth.
Did you see the 99 with this problem, or were you never on the
track? I didn't even know he had a problem.
Go to Jordan in the back.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Bubba came to Victory Lane. Wondering what he said to you and what you said to him.
Yeah, Bubba and I have a great relationship. You know, so you know, we'd talk and joke and pick, and I could tell he was a little bit frustrated because he knew how fast his car was today. But you know, it's there's great respect there, and we have conversation a lot. You know, so it's you know, it's fun to see them running good, and I'd much rather win though.
We'll wrap up with Chris in the front here.
Kevin, going back to the playoff tracks, the second half, Kansas, Texas, Phoenix even. Will the next-gen car be – you think it'll race similar that it did like earlier in the season, or are we still part in that learning period where the teams have learned so much since the first time that they've been there with the next-gen car that it's going to be a completely different aspect the second time around, especially in the playoffs?
I'm really happy that we're going back to a lot of these racetracks that I can actually open up a notebook and not – fire off out of the pits and say, well, I wonder how far I should drive it in today. I wonder if it's going to hit the limiters. I wonder if it's, you know, going to be tight or loose. And so at least going back to the thought processes will be way different for us, you know, as far as setups and things like that. But, you know, I think we've learned a lot. And, you know, I think that those setups will be different, you know. So, but I'm really looking forward to being able to open the notebook and have something there. Yeah, I think you just, you know, the aggressive restarts is, you know, so important. So I don't think any of that will change. I'm sure there'll be some of them lose their minds.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.